Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
From the Jam to the Style Council, Paul Weller, also known as the Mod Father, has been seen as one of the coolest men in new wave pop, soul and the mod revival from the late 70s to today. And Simon Marr is here now to take a look at his career. Hi, Simon.
Hello, hello.
Let's go back to where it all began. Here's a blast of the Jam and Going Underground. Unmistakable. But how did it all begin for Paul Weller? Like, what kind of music was he making at the beginning?
Yeah, well, this is early Weller, but I think one of the things that emerged about, like, he was only 22 at this stage. So by the time the Jam had been a massive, massive band, had come and gone, he wasn't even in his mid-20s at that stage. So he'd started reviewing, once he stayed his quo when he was 16 and thought, this is what I want to be. I want to be a rock and roll star. But kind of, so punk and everything was happening around about that time, but there was something more melodic because he'd been listening to the Small Faces and the Stones and the Beatles and all of those sort of bands. So by the time he came along and started recording music then in the later on in the 70s, it was a sort of post-punk era. But what he had that a huge amount of his contemporaries didn't have is he had that real sense of melody. Mm-hmm. So that even though there's a sort of a punky sound to it, it's very much a pop record too.
So the Jam was a short-lived thing then?
The Jam, it's in their peak, I suppose the mainframe of the Jam was less than 5 years. So that, you know, he was 20 when the band really started to take off with In the City and This is the Modern World and those albums. But by the time he'd got to 1982, and he was, this is my maths, 24, let's say, because he was born in 1958. He said, no, that's enough. You know, I've had enough. And he pulled it there and then. And over the space of about 3 months, he said, this isn't what I want to do anymore.
Okay, well, let's take a listen to the final single from the Jam then. This is Beat Surrender. So then we go from that to the Style Council, do we?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we start to get from a working class boy from Woking. He starts to get notions now in the mid-1980s. And it's brilliant. He gets notions in the coolest possible way. There's a lot of sweaters that are kind of tied around shoulders. There's white shoes. There's boats. But the one big thing that's probably changed for Weller at this stage was that he perhaps begins to take himself a little less seriously, you know, which is, given the fame that he'd had so young, is quite an impressive feat to have done that. But he also started getting into some of the music that he really liked. He was a lot of 60s and 70s soul and Stevie Wonder and Aretha Franklin and all of that sort of stuff that he got into. He met up with Mick Talbot, who had been in his own band but had also been involved in Dexys and all of that. And they played with pianos, played with keyboards and Hammond organs. And you can even hear from the end of the Jam, there's a lot of vocal harmony stuff going on that wouldn't have been big at the time. But for the Style Council, it was all over.
Okay, so he had the confidence really to start messing around
He had both the confidence and the jumpers. He was able to do both of these things.
The white shoes. Let's have a listen to Long Hot Summer. Oh, it's so 80s, isn't it?
Oh, it's incredibly 80s. Incredibly 80s. But you can see, musically, this is where he wanted to go. He wanted to explore. He wanted to play around with all of this and stuff. Some of it has aged well. Funnily enough, some of the later Style Council bits, late 80s, he started to get into American house music and bits of jazz and all sorts of crazy fusions that he was into at that stage. But for that period of probably 83 to about 86, you know, he was the ultimate in cool.
So it was short-lived too then?
Oh, absolutely. That's funnily enough, that was always his thing. And I think people have been very surprised by his solo world that he's kind of settled into it. You know, the fact that he actually settled in and has actually done what he has done really since 93, 94. Mm-hmm. So that, again, I'm not going to do the maths.
Don't worry about the maths.
Yes, 20 lots of years. Yes.
So how did the success of the Style Council compare to the success of the Jam?
I think the Jam were very much of their time. And when you think that it's kind of the Jam and Thatcher really came about at the same time. So there's a huge sort of political and social element to it as well. And then people were looking for an alternative to either punk or disco. So where the likes of bands like the Jam and the Clash and stuff fell, as they fell perfectly. So they were ideal of their time. The Style Council very much were of their time as well, but probably it was something that started to fade that bit quicker.
Mm-hmm. You but know, a bit more commercial maybe?
Definitely a bit more commercial, definitely a bit more wine bar perhaps than, you know, than lager. You know, that's really sort of the world that the Style Council
inhabited. Lounge lizard music.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I think as he went on, on, I think he realised fairly quickly, and that's something that's tough for any musician to do, to realise, this is gone, boys, you know, we got to move on, we got to do something else.
And he goes to Next, and Next was him exploring music as a solo artist, sometimes sounding very orchestral. Here's Wildwood. So he's a chameleon, because that's a completely different sound again.
Oh, utterly, utterly different again, but funnily enough, probably quite close to a lot of the stuff that would have influenced him, and some of the weird stuff that would appear on a Jam album, you know, like Setting Suns in 1979, suddenly you would have had something like Smithers Jones, which was orchestral, or you would have had Private Hell, you know, tracks like that, that suddenly had these big grand orchestral sounds to them. So when it came to stuff like Wildwood, even though it's very simple sort of guitar based tunes, it's like, ah, now we've probably gone back much earlier in Weller's career for the stuff that was then, let's call it the non-punk stuff that was influencing him then, started to influence him again. And when people heard Wildwood and Livewood, which that track is taken from as well, you know, it's like, oh, this man really still has something to say.
So was he performing then as Paul Weller at this stage, just straight after the Style Council?
After Style Council, Style Council kind of continued on until about 1989. And then I was going to say he drifted around, but he experimented a lot for the sort of three or 4 years after that. It was really only when he landed on Wildwood and landed on a band, you know, he finally got some musicians that he wanted to work with, and I think he figured this is going to work. But he said himself, for a lot of the time, he wasn't sure, he didn't know, but he always talks about how lucky he is to have been able to go and try and eventually hit on that, because of the fact that he's Paul Weller.
Mm-hmm. And then, so we're into the early 90s now, at this stage? And he's consistently releasing stuff the whole way through, is he?
Oh, so yeah, suddenly he's back at a point where he is releasing songs and albums that were as successful as the Style Council, even some of the Jam stuff was. And he's really, really starting to take off again now as a live performer. So we're now, as I say, we're into the 1990s. He's now heading for 40, you know, but he's got very, very comfortable with his stage presence. And he's writing, releasing, touring, and doing the thing that he probably loves the most, which is collaborating. And he loves a collaboration with anybody. You know, there's a particularly good collaboration he does with Conor O'Brien from Villagers, but he's collaborated everywhere. And that seems to be something that he's comfortable with, is that whole idea of, I may sound like something who's a throwback from the 60s, you know, but I can work with all of these musicians who are very much now. And rather than sound like a passenger, he adds something to everything he does.
And the image then, have we moved on from the jumpers around the shoulders?
The jumpers are gone. The jumpers are gone. Yeah, no, I was devastated when the jumpers went, just as they were starting to become cool. So he's gone back. He's real Mod Father stuff now, you know. So he looks like a man who would be very comfortable in the 60s and the 70s. He's 65 now. He is very comfortable, both in what he does and how he performs. But sadly, the white shoes are gone.
Mm. Like, he just obviously is a survivor as well. Like, to go through two iterations, very successful bands, then out on his own, and still be somebody who people will flock to see live.
Oh, absolutely. And people would. Like, he played here last year. He's played on a regular basis in Ireland, and people will. Like, when you think that the final tour for the Jam was, I think the tickets were £6 to go and see the Jam for their final, final dates they ever played in 1982. He's playing gigs now where people are paying 100, 150 quid to see him, but will absolutely go and do it. But they'll see him not just as, and what's probably the thing for him that probably keeps him going, is that it's brilliant when you go to a Weller gig and he does Going Underground, you know, or he does My Ever-Changing Moods. But people will also go to hear the new stuff as well. And there are so few musicians can do that. So few that anybody cares about enough to want to hear the new stuff.
And he writes for other people as well. And people might be surprised to hear that he writes for Ollie Moore.
He does. He does. He has written a song for pretty much everybody, you know. And it's one of those things. He would say he's got that sort of agnostic attitude to who he writes for and who he works with. He just wants to work with people who it's fun to work with. And there's some that you would be surprised that he hasn't worked with. And then there's lots like Ollie Moore's, you know, that you'd be surprised that he has worked with. But again, he has that luxury that he's able to decide, I want to do this, and he gets to do it.
He sounds like a smart businessman. Is that something that's in his rep there as well?
I think so. Now, he had his dad, who's the original John Weller, looked after him and managed him from the Jam right the way up to a very short number of years ago when he passed away. So he was the business manager for an awfully long time. But because Weller was the songwriter, and we've talked about this on many occasions before, if you're the songwriter for songs that are getting played, so like A Town Called Malice that went through Billy Elliot, all of those things, you know, that is where you will make your living out of, mm-hmm. you know. So he has been very, very smart with what he's done and how he's invested it. And it has served him. It has served him very well over the years.
Well, you mentioned A Town Called Malice and we have to play it because it's one of those iconic songs. You mentioned Billy Elliot as well, of course. It got a whole new lease of life from that movie. It has 185 million plays on Spotify. I really want to watch Billy Elliot again. I was saying last week on the show, I was trying to find it, you know, on all the streaming services that we pay for, and I couldn't find it unless I signed up to something else. So anyway, that's another story. You mentioned collaborations and Paul Weller. Gilbert O'Sullivan.
There's people who he admires. Now, he fell out with a number of people over the years, you know, including sort of Bruce Foxton and Rick Buckler. So his bandmates from The Jam for a long period of time, because they were obviously thinking, this is brilliant. And then Weller comes along and goes, no.
That was on my mind. He's off doing his own thing.
That's the thing. I want to move on. So they still tour as From The Jam, but the people that he really does like, and one of the people that he likes particularly is Gilbert O'Sullivan, of course. And it's only relatively recently he happened to be in a radio studio where Gilbert O'Sullivan was being interviewed on air live, just like we are now, and he walked straight into the studio and he walked in and sat down beside him and on the air said, look, Alone Again Naturally is one of the best songs that has ever been written, and he said, I couldn't walk out this door without telling you that.
Best PR Gilbert O'Sullivan has ever had.
Absolutely.
Simon, thank you so much. Simon Marr there on Paul Weller.